to go. Wookie is going to start off telling us all about his multi-arch cross-building work.
Okay, hello. So first they gave me the graveyard slot on Sunday morning, and now they give me the slot after you've all been fed lots of pizza. And I'm mostly asleep. So as a result of making the ARM64 thing boot, this talk is probably slightly less organized than it might be. I hope it makes sense. So, yes, cross-building in general, and particularly tool chains, actually. That again, this still applies, don't forget, especially you, Ian. Build, host, and target. You need to know which is which. So, yes, we've had cross-tool chains in Debian-ish, one way or another, for quite a long time, or cross-support. So, depackaged cross has existed since 1997, which was a handy set of evil utilities to wrap GCC to stick triplets in the right places, which grew over the years. Quite a lot of what it did got absorbed into depackaged build package instead. It still supplies various bits of functionality. It's been a bit of a catch-all for making cross stuff work over the years. So the MDebian project has been providing cross tool chains for a decade. I started... Actually, somebody else, Jim Pick, I think, originally made it work, but me and Hector have mostly been looking after that until recently when we've got a bit slack and it's all broken at the moment. And there have been other tools written over the years to deal with the problem of supplying cross-dependencies, and that's all got much fancier with the advent of multi-arch. In the meantime, Linaro's taken an interest in this work and has made... better cross-tool chains, different cross-tool chains. Yes, there's been some recent GSOC work on making all this work properly. So things are almost slick, but to a large degree, they're a lot slicker in Ubuntu than they are in Debian at the moment, because that's where most of the actual finish it off so it works properly work has gone on. Now, you've already seen this diagram. This was my cross-build daemon setup, which would basically cross-build a reasonable subset of packages to see whether it worked or not. That's now superseded by Gustavo Alkmim's work, which is a much fancier setup. So I only have one repository. But one of the things we discovered doing this, as soon as you start multi-arch building, because one of the fundamental features is that the build and host architecture libraries have to be in exact version sync, otherwise stuff won't install. Trying to build against a running distro like Unstable, if you're building a new architecture and everything else is moving along, things get out of sync half the time, and this actually gets quite painful. So it's a lot easier to build against a snapshot, which isn't moving along all the time, until you choose to move your snapshot along. So Gustavo's Bootstrap tool uses a recent snapshot rather than actually using Unstable, because that works a whole heap better. So I set up this buildy to just build stuff and see how much stuff cross-built and how much didn't. And as you can see, the results are fairly old for most of the stuff I've got there. This was... Colin has some newer ones. Do you happen to know what the numbers are, vaguely? But anyway, I mean...
Give me a second.
The take-home from this is that in Ubuntu Raring a few months ago... Basically, what's that? Not quite a half, maybe a third of the distro just built.
Yeah, my saucy one for ARMHF is broken, unfortunately. For ARM64 and saucy, which gets you kind of the first layer of stuff, it managed to get 316 successes.
Okay.
But I think that the actual result for ARMHF was more like, it was something like... 34% success, I think, if I remember rightly.
Okay. So, you know, a significant, non-trivial fraction of at least Ubuntu already cross-builds. And that means, so the hard part is usually, can I install all my dependencies, cross-dependencies, as well as does this package actually cross-build? So you have to have both of those things fulfilled, and they're at least equally likely to go wrong. So, you know, this is already quite useful. At the bottom, you only have to have one thing missing, and then everything else above it that depends on it doesn't work. So the fundamental things you need to do cross-building are a cross-tool chain, some mechanism for getting your cross-build dependencies installed, something to make your build system do the right thing. In general, so long as your build system is AutoTools or CMake, it will do the right thing. If there's anything else, it probably won't. Most of them are fairly crappy at cross-building. Also, in general, it's best if you just don't run our binaries of the wrong architecture. Now, if you've got QEMU, you can do that, and in fact, it glosses over a lot of things that aren't quite right. But it's best to actually just don't do that. The problem is, this, of course, goes against good software engineering, where if you use the thing you just built to make the thing in your package, it's a lot more likely to come out right. But that's very unhelpful from a cross-building point of view, where we'd really quite like you to just look it up in a static thing and not run a program to find out. These two things are in tension to some degree. So, multi-arch tool chains. Now, there's two parts to this. There's where does the tool chain look to find its stuff? Libraries and headers, basically. What paths does it look on? And how was the tool chain itself built? So the first part is using the right paths. So one of the big features of multi-arch is that there is a canonical path for everything. It doesn't change when you cross-build. So as you can see, if I get the magic widget out, you used to look in this special magic compiler path, user triplet whatever, where things were laid out in a slightly different fashion to how they were laid out in the normal file system. So everything was in lib, whether it was previously in lib or user lib, for example. So in multi-arch world, you just look in the normal places, except with the extra triplet directory, and similarly for libraries, as opposed to the magic cross directory. I don't actually know where that convention came from. I think it's just an old GNU convention from somewhere. And most of the rest of the world doesn't do that anymore either. They use sysroots, which is a different way of achieving kind of what multi-arch does, which is looking in the normal path, except just by sticking a bit on the front. We'll get onto this, exactly how we build and what things are linked against later. But the point is, when you talk about multi-arch cross tool chains, you might mean, did I build the tool chain itself in a multi-arch way, or does this tool chain know about multi-arch paths so it'll work in a multi-arch system and find the headers it's looking for? So one of the things dpackage cross does is provides autoconf cache variables. So autoconf is in some ways exceedingly stupid, but it's also kind of reasonably well designed. So it if it's cross-building, it says, well, I can't run tests to find out these things, so somebody better tell me the answers. And it has a nice message. If you say, go and look in crossconfig.cat, well, a file. You can give it any file. Colin wishes to comment.
At least some of these can go away, the newer version of AutoConf you use. There's a terrifying thing in relatively recent versions of AutoConf called AC Compute Int, which figures out anything that you can compute statically in the compiler, like size of some structure or something. It figures this out by bisecting compiler failures across the space of an cool. Int. So it can do things like figuring out the size of a float, even if you're cross-building and can't actually execute the binaries.
Okay.
So if you have an AutoTools package, please make sure it's using something recent and that you've had a look at some of the shiny facilities that are available for this.
Okay, so yes, modern autoconf steadily gets smarter. So the thing, it goes to a lot of trouble not to run wrong arch binaries when it thinks it can't. And actually, the size of ints and floats and doubles and things thing is trivial. We just provide a list, and that's always worked well for 15 years at least. A lot of the other things are, do I have this function and will it return void or whatever? So a lot of these things actually depend on, am I using glibc, really? So we have this functionality. It works pretty well, by and large. Obviously, if you look something up in a table rather than run a test, there's always the risk that the details in the table are wrong and you'll get stuff built wrong. But in general, if things use autoconf, it works pretty well, except insofar as the autoconf that comes with your software is incredibly old and broken, which does happen. So there's a whole lot of other bits and bobs we need for this to work nicely. We need the equivalent of build essential for cross-building. So build essential Arch, which basically installs your cross toolchains and your cross package config and a cross C library. I'll get on to why that's not perfect later, but it works pretty well in practice. You also need a package config that understands to look in the right architecture, and the way we tell it that we're using cross package config is just to put the triplet in the front. In fact, this applies to all commands. If you've got any command which actually whose action depends on the host architecture you're trying to build for, instead of calling command, you call host arch command. There aren't very many of them, so you know there's compilers, all the bits of bin utils, package config, object introspection, and probably a few other bits and bobs dotted about. But you have to. So all the triplet package config is a symlink to a wrapper around package config, which sets a magic environment variable to say, look in the right architecture. It's dead stupid, and it works very nicely. And in general, deb helper will actually make sure the right package config is called without you having to do anything. What else do we have? The toolchain thing's a bit complicated, so we have a mechanism that you run on Linux GNU/AVI GCC, and that actually calls whatever the configured version of GCC is in Debian at the moment, unless you specify an explicit version. We just have to get sure that all works in crossland as well. So just installing your cross-compiler only gets you the version with the this, right? Something else has to make sure this symlink gets put in, which is what the GCC defaults package is about. You need GCC across defaults to do all that jiggery-pokery. I've already mentioned the autoconf cache. CMake has a different mechanism for doing the right thing, which is a toolchain file. I'm not entirely sure how well CMake works in multi-arch world. It seems to mostly work. Again, Colin knows the answers.
I have seen CMake working at least sometimes. I know that it is. I know that it is possible to get it to do cross builds. I've done cross builds of some packages with it. I think it's in a situation where the core works okay, but there are a lot of add-on CMake scripts of various kinds that the usual failure mode is that they don't really trust the compiler or the linker. So rather than what AutoTools tends to do, which is feed it to the compiler and it knows where things live, a lot of CMake scripts have the flaw that they try to look around in different paths to see what's where, and that obviously fails with multi-arch.
Yes.
That's gradually getting better, but it's a bit of a whack-a-mole effort.
So, I mean, CMake supports cross-building quite well itself, fundamentally. The thing is, it's very easy to write a CMake file that can do all sorts of stupid things which are totally cross-incompatible, and upstream tend to do that, and you have to fix it.
And the CMake toolchain file needs some fixes because some of the CMake multi-arch paths have changed.
Yes.
So I have a locally
the problem
patched
is
one.
There's a bit of an assumption there at the moment that libs and headers will be under the same path, which works for system sysroots but doesn't work for multi-arch. And I'm not sure we've nobbled that in all the right places. But anyway, it clearly can work, and if it isn't working, we just need to fix it. CMake itself is smart enough to know when it's cross-compiling and when it isn't. Triplet tools you mentioned, sbuild support. So in order for this to be convenient, as I explained in the previous talk, you want to be able to just say, build this for architecture, blah, with your standard tools. And sbuild has now supported that for a while. That's great. So as average developers, in principle, all you want to do is say, build this for architecture, blah, in cheroot, blah, and it'll just work. That is true, so long as all these bits are actually supplied. Other build systems, Scons, Ant, and MakeMaker, in my experience, are all crap. Don't do the right thing at all. MakeMaker really doesn't understand the difference between building and cross-building, and we'll have to worry about those as we get there, really. And people keep inventing new build systems, which are even worse, especially the Java people. I think we covered this morning, pretty much. You can just say sbuild for an architecture, and it will automatically basically do all this, install the cross-build essential, where it normally installs whatever it's called, core dependencies. It installs cross-core dependencies. So sbuild knows, it's actually a config option, there's a magic thing to install when it's asked when host and build don't match, which is that package. So you can make that package contain whatever you need for your purposes in the sbuild.com file. In general, if you leave it alone, it'll do just what you wanted. But you can change that to do crazy stuff if necessary. This stuff, I think, is built in, which is probably a bit crufty, really, and we should perhaps do something a bit more flexible. Although you might want to rely on the package build package to do all that for you anyway. So cross-build essential is a little bit of a hack. We're just saying, yes, you have to. You'll always get GCC and C++ and package config and a cross C library, and that's what you need. And if you want anything else, you'll have to depend on it. And in practice, that works pretty well. But strictly speaking, we should just be translating the dependencies from the packages like we do for everything else, and not really assuming that you always have to have C++ because, well, you probably didn't need it most of the time, unless it's a C++ app. In order to do that, we have a problem that if a package, so most of the time a package doesn't explicitly depend on bin utils or GCC because they're in build essential. They don't need to. It's part of our spec. But if they depend on a specific version, then they do. And sometimes maintainers just put it in anyway because they don't know any better. So if something needs GCC 4.6 because it doesn't build with GCC 4.8, that's fine, it can say so. But as soon as we try and cross-build it, cross-build essential will just stick current GCC 4.8 in, and it'll not work. So something has to translate and say, if the package said it depended on this, then I really need to install this. And the problem is, this dependency changes depending on what you're building for. That is not true of build dependencies normally. Normally, they're an absolute thing. But we have to translate the names in order to install the right stuff automatically. And we don't have a mechanism for that anywhere yet. Colin and I talked about this in the pub. No. So I changed that in my file and forgot to regenerate the slides. Never mind. So, yes, this could just be done in SBuild in a kind of hacky way, saying, oh, I know the magic things, I'll just do it for you. But that only works if you're building with SBuild. A better fix is to put this property is a property of the packages that do this. So GCC, bin utils, package config, GIR scanner, that's most of it. Those are the few packages whose build dependency names are translatable. So those packages can declare that. Basically, it was just a binary thing saying this package name should be translated when building for a different host architecture. And then tools like SBuild and dpackage, apt, I guess, would use that to go, yes, I should install the right thing for you. So that's the thing that has not been implemented yet. Like I say, at the moment, cross-build essential kind of glosses over this for you. But we should really do this properly. And because it's a... Does dpackage have to know about this? Yes, dpackage check builders need to know. So as it's one of those things, you've got to get it into dpackage, which takes forever, and then you have to wait for another release. It'll be a while before this is all slick and everywhere. So we would like cross toolchains in our archive instead of having to get them from mdebian.org, who might be out of date and not installable. And in fact, we're still building old-style cross compilers that look in the old-style paths, which is increasingly no use. We want multi-arch. Cross compilers that look in the multi-arch paths. And rather than fix that, we go, let's just do this properly in the archive like we've been meaning to for years. Because of the Naro work, it's been in Ubuntu for ages. The Naro build cross toolchains for everybody to use, which is super latest, shiny upstream tip. But again, they're not multi-arch cross compilers. As far as I can tell, you can't, by just mangling symlinks, take a Linaro cross toolchain and jam it in, pretending that it was a deb because of the default search path bits. It's possible that can be made to work, but I haven't proved it one way or the other. If anyone knows, it will be interesting, because it will be quite useful. Because the compilers in Debian and Ubuntu are always relatively old in comparison to super latest that people are just working on for current chips and current optimizations and so on. Mostly, as distros, we don't care that much, right? A vaguely recent compiler, as long as it works, is just fine. But people actually working on stuff do want to use the very latest Shiny because they want some optimization or other. There's also the somewhat separate subject of bare metal cross-tool chains. So all the people working on Arduinos and tiny ARM embeds and all those little tiddly boxes, which have become a lot more popular in recent years due to the open hardware movement and general goodness, those people want an easily installable environment. Now, multi-arch isn't really appropriate there because they're not targeting a proper environment with millions of libraries and all that complexity, which multi-arch makes easy for you. They need a cross-tool chain and maybe a crappy little tiny libc, and that's about it. Everything else will be raw code. So it's easier to just use upstream tool chains with multi-lib rather than multi-arch, and we'll get to the status of that in a bit. So, getting compilers into the archive, you'd think was simple enough, but there's some ifs and buts. The way the Linaro and Ubuntu toolchains are built is like this, a three-stage bootstrap. So I wanted to draw you a nice diagram, but I'm afraid I ran out of time. But the compiler depends on Linux libc dev to get kind of basic headers about the kernel and the architecture. And with those, you can build a really stupid C compiler that doesn't know about a C library, but is capable of building a primitive version of the C library. And then once you've built one of those, you can rebuild your compiler against the minimal libc you've just built, and then you can build that again with more than just C, so you get C++ and other things, but still not with the fancy bits like libse Linux and libaudit, and then you can build it again with all the bits. This is all fiddly, and you don't really want to do this unless you have to, because it tends to go wrong quite a lot. It's quite complicated. There is lots of foo. Obviously, the upstream tool chain is designed to do all this, and there's lots of stuff, and there have been many tools written over the years to do this. But we make it a lot more complicated in Debian and Ubuntu by surrounding that with a massive pile of packaging poo, so that we can build different compilers for different architectures in two different distributions, which makes it all more complicated. So this package, so there's a package per host architecture. There's an ARM64 cross-toolchain base, an ARMHF cross-toolchain base, and so on, which basically goes through all this jiggery-pokery and spits out a C compiler, libstudc, libgcc, and they're all in special cross-paths. Am I explaining this right? Well, come back to me in a minute if I haven't made sense. So the problem with this is that you end up with two copies of the C library, two copies of libgcc, two copies of libstudc++. So the compiler build is a cross build, effectively. And the way it's done, in order to do it on one architecture, on buildees that don't know about multi-arch themselves, as above, means you have to put a C library inside the compiler for the wrong architecture, and a libgcc, and so on. And the problem with that is that when you install that on the system along with your native compiler and your native libc, sorry, the libc for the host architecture, whatever that is, you've now got two, and autoconf can find the wrong one, things can link against the wrong one, and various sorts of confusion can happen, and this sort of offends my computing sensibilities a bit. Also, it takes bloody ages, and if you just build your compiler, if you just do the stage three, once you're in a distro and you've already built all your C library and your libgcc and all those other things for your other architecture, which you did with the native compiler, you can just build against them once. You don't need three stages, you just do the last stage, because you already had all the other parts anyway. And that's what multi-arch makes very easy. So it seems to me this is a better way to build our compilers, but I'll come on to, in a minute, the ifs and buts about that. So what I propose, what I would like to do, and I've been liking to do for a while, but I've not actually done it, which is part of the problem, is that we expect to get Linux libc dev from the Linux sources. That already works. Happens as a standard part of the build. We have a binutils package, which actually builds all the architectures we're supporting, because binutils is easy. It's standalone. It builds without too much fuss. So you could have one per architecture, but I don't think there's much point. The native GCC build already provides you a native GCC and a libgcc and libstudc++. EGlibc gives you libstudc. I forgot to put that on here. And then the cross build would just build against all the other stuff you already had and give you a cross GCC. This was all working last time I looked at it a couple of months ago, but I tried it yesterday and it bust. So That's annoying, I was hoping to say, this already works, we should just package it. Sadly, I can't quite say that because I was too busy building ARM64 packages. So, as I said, yes, because we end up with two copies of all these things, it does mostly work pretty well, actually, as observed by the fact that we can build half of Ubuntu main or a third. But it just seems slightly perverse having everything twice. Tiddly-pom, I've said all this. So standalone compilers are still useful because when you have a new architecture, so for the last year, the fact that you could build an ARM64 without having a Debian or Ubuntu ARM64 to build against was really useful. So you do need the ability to bootstrap your toolchain. We don't want to throw it away. I'm just not convinced it should be the default build. The other issue is that in order to do this on buildies, you need to depend on something of a different architecture. And currently, none of our packages do that. It's not a thing we support. So everything depends on binary source packages and then uses dpackage cross, in fact, to fish the C library out of the other architecture, convert it to a native path, jam it in the old compiler thing. It's all horrible. But there are some question marks about what happens if we allow buildies to depend on things from other architectures. It's not a closed set anymore. Now, we had this discussion about 3 years ago and went, well, it should be all right. We should try it. But there's been a certain amount of faffage, and we haven't. So it works kind of in a test environment, but we haven't got packages we've actually uploaded and enabled yet. And it's getting to the point where we really ought to do that or something else. Source dependencies, as mentioned earlier. So the build everything in one go, three-stage bootstrap package depends on kernel source, binutils source, eglibc source, and GCC source. And when you're bootstrapping, it's all massively painful to make the new architecture patches to the sources, then build the binary sources, and then build the things against those. I just want the sources. Why can't I build against the sources instead of having to build the thing and then build the thing? Just taking up space in our archive. We should stop doing that. So as I say here, what do we actually need to do to make this happen? I would love somebody to be enthused enough to make source dependencies work. However, I don't think we should delay cross-compiler uploading until that's ready, because that will take way too long. So we will continue with the dependency on the binary source packages for now. Did Mark want to say something? Yeah, one thing to say is that GCC 4.8 source package, binary source package, is not the same as the GCC 4.8 source package, because it's patched, and then you get that source, which is a little bit weird.
I remember talking to you about this in Bosnia, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. We all sat around in Bosnia and went, we should do this.
Yeah, we should do this, shouldn't we? Did any of us ever actually write down a specification for what we'd need to change everywhere to make the source build depends work? I know I didn't, so I'll admit to guilt on that.
I don't know, no. And to be fair, we were mostly talking about multi-arch buildies there.
And we were,
I don't think the bit about source dependencies had sunk into my brain at that point. That was really only this year it occurred to me that that would be a really good thing.
Yeah, so we should probably both for that and the previous slide actually try writing out a specification for what we want.
Okay. I guess that will be on my job list then. I need to talk to someone about the source dependency, because I'm not quite sure how it affects the archive. But anyway, we should talk about this. Here's another little detail I noticed doing all this. So we have a way of specifying, so when you build binutils to target a particular architecture, there's a magic environment variable you set, target. And when you do it for GCC, there's a different one, debgcc target or gcc target. And we really ought to use variables the same as we have for build arch and host arch and have a deb target arch. So I mean, there is a deb target arch, but we don't use that to configure our tools. Just for random history, somebody made up a name once to make it work a decade ago. I fixed GCC, or Doco has, it got fixed. I did submit a patch to binutils, but Doco was correct in pointing out that in fact it was completely wrong and broken, so he hasn't applied it. So that's not difficult, it just needs doing. Once you've done that, it now is easier for tools to just automatically configure this stuff. And in fact, dpackage build package really ought to be able to have a rune for this. So I can say dpackage build package something targeting something. Because we can specify the host arch, but we can't specify the target arch.
Sorry, what?
Doesn't that change the control file? When you change the target architecture, that changes...
It does, generally, in bin utils and GCC.
Or deepackage, buildpackage should never change the change the control file.
Okay,
because
so we don't want to do that.
On your auto build, you start by reading the control file to know what to do, and then halfway through at the beginning of the build, the first thing you do is change that control file again. This is something that is evil and must never be allowed to happen. We have specific rules in the... we have an auto-generated control file in Linux as well, and we have specific rules to make sure that this can never be changed during an auto build because things will go horribly wrong then.
Okay, so you're saying we just shouldn't do that because it's wrong.
Well,
I mean, there's this general thing that thou shalt never change the control file, except in packages that do.
Some infrastructure would need to be changed to cope with that, I think.
Okay, all right. So maybe it's not such a good idea. Well, it turns out we've already used target and dash T, so we're running out of names anyway. yeah, okay, that was maybe just a crazy idea. I did start writing that and then wasn't quite sure how to proceed. So another related issue to this is something that came up at DebConf this year. Well, actually, it was a bug submitted on April the 1st by one Helmut Gruner complaining that it was impossible to install GCC i386 and GCC AMD64 at the same time. And you go, why do I want to do that? I've got a dash M32 option. And you go, well, because that's multi-libs and not multi-arch. And for Haskell particularly, it's very useful to be able to run the 32-bit compiler, I understand. That was the reason this was submitted. And Docker went, is it April Fool's Day? What is this nonsense? And I was very impressed to see that at DebConf, after about 2 or 3 days, Helmut had persuaded Docker that it wasn't complete craziness and was actually quite a good idea, which is a rare example of diplomatic skills, in my experience. And we sat down for a while and pondered this. So there's that page. Go and read co-installable tool chains. But actually, it just makes the whole thing nicely orthogonal if you do this. And it works for the cross tool chains, and it works for being able to install what are currently BiArch toolchains. I'm not sure to what degree you can have this and BiArch at the same time. That makes my head hurt. And I don't think we can take BiArch away for i386 because people are so used to using it.
Presumably you'd also make it that GCC-ver is a meta package that depends on the current architectures.
So these become architecture any, and then you have an architecture, a multi-arch something. I forget the details, but yes, there's a GCC ver package, which is what you actually install, which brings in the right thing for your current architecture. As I say, this is explained on this page, and it was nearly 4 a.m. by then, so I'm afraid I couldn't be bothered writing any more of this slide. So, yeah, I would like to do that, but again, I don't think we should hold up our cross-compile. It actually requires some repackaging to make this work. I'm not sure how much. If anyone's enthused about that, that would be great. It's mostly Helmut's crazy idea, and he's the one who really ought to do it. But I think it will make the cross-compiler packaging simpler. So that's fine by me. So where are we at currently? Until recently, you couldn't build the toolchains against the system libraries because it just didn't do that. So Tibolt Gurker did that for his GSOC thing in 2012, and that all works, and Docker put that into the packaging. So there's now a secret magic variable, which I think was on one of these slides. There we are. With depths on target arch packages equals yes, which basically means don't build all my internal libraries, use the ones in the system. So that, as I say, is working in principle, but didn't appear to be working yesterday for some reason. It might be that it's all correct in GCC 4.7, something broke in 4.8, because it's not currently well used. You know, unless we actually use it, it will tend to go wrong. Yes. The other reason why I haven't just uploaded stuff is that if you use the Ubuntu Linaro packaging doing the full three-stage thing, that doesn't work either in Debian because the kernel packaging is totally different and there's a different set of packages. Now, this isn't a big deal, but it does mean it doesn't just work. And I gave it a bit of a poke, and some patches need updating and removing and things. That would be a relatively easy piece of work, I'm sure. Equally, if you try doing it the other way, so using the multi-arch cross-building for the toolchain itself, but still doing the three-step bootstrap, which you need to do when it's a new architecture like ARM64, which is what I've been trying to do since before DebConf. Every time I try, something else is broken. I've made a big page, wiki page, called Toolchain Building Issues, because you bang your head against the wall for 2 hours and go, hang about, I recognize this, and look through your notes from last time you tried this and go, oh, yes, that's what's wrong. I've forgotten to install bin utils. I'm an idiot. So I've made a page now with all the things that go wrong. But at the moment, this build works, but I can't get it to come out with the right multi-arch include path. So when the compiler tries to build itself, it can't find the right headers and fails. I haven't worked out why. It's just a matter of sitting down for a week and not doing six other things, and I'm sure it could be sorted. But that's one of the reasons why we haven't got very far in the last few months. So I would like to do all this nice cool stuff, but there's a certain amount of, we really ought to just upload some compilers, and it will be a lot easier to just upload these. And even though it's ugly and we end up with two of everything and it takes ages, it does just work. Well, it would just work if we fix the patches. So maybe we should do that. Don't argue with me, or just do it. The main reason I haven't done that is because I worry that once we've uploaded all that stuff with all those names, if you actually want to change this to something better later, you might end up with a horrible, horrible array of things that need to conflict with things, and it's, the whole GCC packaging is kind of ugly, so I wasn't sure whether that would actually be problematic or not. Someone like Colin probably has a better idea than me, but that's the thing that's put me off, just going, well, we'll upload that for now, and we'll do something better later, maybe one day.
In case...
It was on, I think. Just there we are. Just shout. It was on.
Yeah, there we go. It's more of a big deal, I think, in cases where it creeps into other packages, build dependencies and things.
Yeah.
But that's probably not going to happen in this case, right? Apart from cross-build essential, but I think we mostly agree in what cross... Well, with the exception of package config, maybe, I think we mostly agree in what cross-build essential ought to look like. And package config is not a problem because everything that cares about that build depends on it anyway, so once we start translating things, it'll work. I think we have to worry about it more in cases where packages are going to end up depending on it. In cases where there are, you know, 10 of us who are doing serious cross-building work who have to change a few scripts, there are worse problems.
Okay, well, it wasn't so much that. It's just if we upload that stuff now, and then in 6 months' time we upload stuff producing some similarly named packages, but not quite the same, maybe with Helmut's thingy, I just wonder how all the conflicts and breaks and thingies all work. I mean, maybe it's easy, but I haven't got it straight in my head. So that was putting me off. Anyway, if anyone cares to think about this, that will be useful. Bare metal cross-tool chains have been done since DebConf when we talked about it. Well done to Keith Packard and Matthew Gretendan at Linaro, who I mentioned this to. And that afternoon, instead of doing whatever he was supposed to be doing, which was boring, he sent me a nice patch. So the original plan was to upload the Linaro tool chains hacked about a bit. But the problem is that's a whole new GCC source with some changes in it, and it'd be much nicer if we used our standard GCC source with some patches for bare metal libfoo. And that was what Matthew produces. It's a remarkably small patch, and it's 50k or something on top of our normal source, which just makes it build with all the multi-lib options you could care to name, so it'll work for M0 and M3 and M4 and God knows what. I think there's 56 multi-libs or something. So that's great. I think they're currently mouldering the new queue, and will presumably be allowed in shortly. Meanwhile, a couple of other people have turned up going, oh, can we do C libraries as well? To which the answer is, please knock yourselves out. So that's actually the interesting part of this talk. The rest of it is stuff that I've kind of talked about before, and I hope most of you know. Actually, no, there's one more bit I do want to talk about. So, yeah, things that actually go wrong when you try building stuff. Things that run the tools they just built, So libnih builds NIH dbus tool and then runs it halfway through the build, which of course explodes because it's the wrong architecture. Or it did. It's probably been fixed by now. This is an old slide. And things that run the command with dash help to make a man page for themselves. You go, yeah, you could do that, but you know how annoying that is? It doesn't mean the man page is correct, I agree. But couldn't you just have it out of a file somewhere? A worse problem is all the things which are old and shitty and have config scripts. So a lot of things that predate package config have a magic config script that spits out runes about how they were built, possibly in the same language as they're written in. And the whole multi-arch thing doesn't really have a good solution for what to do about these. They could be architecture prefixed, but mostly Vorlon's answer is make them use package config. But the problem is a lot of these are very old things whose upstreams probably aren't very enthused by the idea of us coming along and saying, can't you just use package config? Then it would work. Some things are evil. APR is the most amazing abomination. I don't know what they were thinking. So APR is the kind of underlying stuff used by Apache, and they've clearly written it with the intention of making everything cross-buildable in all sorts of, you know, every conceivable system, including really obscure ones. Enrico wants to say something. But as far as I can tell, it's totally broken. I don't know what they were trying to do. And then people have put loads of sed on top of it to try and make it work properly. And you just go... So one of the engineers who did the original port here wrote a really long email saying, I've worked out how all this works, and as far as I can tell, you're all nuts. Or didn't... Or probably somebody understood this once, tried to do the right thing, got it wrong, and everyone else has been hacking it ever since for like 15 years, and couldn't we just do it right? But unfortunately, he was too scared to send that email, so it's never really progressed.
About help to man, it's terribly convenient, so I don't feel good if you say don't use it. I use it and I'm very happy with it, but since it's not available in most distributions, I use it before I build the source release, and I add that to the tarball, which makes it...
Okay, so you ship the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Like one does sometimes with Bison or things mm-hmm. like that. So instead of saying not, don't use it, it would be nice to publish the kind of best practices for using it and making it convenient.
That makes sense to me. I'm happy with that. Or just decide that if you cross-build, you don't get a man page, which is kind of annoying, but a lot better than not building at all. Work on this stuff will be nice, especially if anyone has any bright ideas. We all seem to be surviving for the time being. What else? Things that run programs, libraries that run things at install time need to be careful to not have that as a fatal error, because when they're cross-installed, they probably can't run their tool, and usually it doesn't matter.
I had a conversation with Vorlon about this a month or two ago, and if I'm remembering correctly, and hopefully he'll eventually correct me in video if I'm wrong, his answer was that all of the things that they're running should just be multi-arch foreign, because if they are actually any use to you at all, then they're the ones which correspond to what's on your desktop or whatever. You just don't care about the things which don't correspond to the primary system architecture in most of these cases.
In general, that seems reasonable. So I can imagine that you're installing libraries to build something which aren't actually on your system. You didn't necessarily want them to go fiddling with whatever it is they fiddle with.
Right, indeed. So you can just ignore the fact that you're running things for the primary architecture, which will completely ignore the thing that they're allegedly being run on behalf of.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, these have all been fixed, I think, by just saying, or true. That's generally good practice. So I haven't yet come across a case where whatever it does in the post-install is so important that you absolutely must be sure that it ran, in which case we have a problem about the normal native install case kind of conflicting with the cross-install, just using it as a library. I mean, you're only putting the library there because you wanted the headers, really, so you can link against it. You don't want any of its actual operation to occur. So if we have real cases where that's a difficulty, then we'll have to argue about it. Mostly it's just something people haven't really thought about before. Chirapath used to be a problem because it was architecture specific, but it's got smarter now and can cope with foreign arch binaries that it has to Chirapath. So that's okay. The other big looming issue is object introspection. So the whole GNOME foo, they love their object introspection. That's how they generate all the API stuff by DL opening the binaries in order to work out what things they could call. It's all very clever, but it's not very cross-friendly because you can't open your foreign arch binary to work out how you should call it. So I think the correct fix is a cross object introspector, but nobody's written a cross object introspector. And we haven't needed to yet. Mostly so far we've just found that just not doing that part of the build works fine. I imagine that will cease to be true at some point. There's some documentation online for packages who wish their packages to not do anything bad and unhelpful. So if you come across bad and unhelpful things, add them to that page. Yes, that's all I've got to say today. Oh, yes, and thank you to various people who've helped make this work over the years. So we are on the cusp. If we sort out this toolchain uploading thing, we'll have all this goodness in Debian. It will be easily available and, you know, useful for various aspects. Obviously, we are mostly a natively built distro, but there's lots of times when a bit of cross-compiling is convenient. Bootstrapping, faster machine here, small devices, various reasons. The Haskell type thing where you need to be able, you can't install the AMD64 compiler because you haven't got enough memory. Well, you can install it, you can't run and build anything with it. Whereas the i386 works just fine. So yes, that's where we're at. I hope that wasn't too boring. Questions? So we need to sit down and decide about which tool chains we are going to upload. I was hoping to have done more work on this since DebConf than I have, such is life. Mostly they let me go back to doing ARM64 stuff, and that's fun. So I do promise to have a proper look at this and either get the new stuff working and say, look, here is a worked example, and as you say, argue about the multi-arch buildy bit, or just go, oh, bollocks to it, we'll upload the old stuff. Well, make that work and then upload it. If anyone wishes to help, so one thing I've got to say, after DebConf, we set up a cross-tool chains Alioth team. If Alioth worked, you could go there and join. There are a reason there are people who have expressed an interest, which is good, because one thing about this is that the GCC maintainer does not wish to maintain the cross-tool chains for the good reason that he's quite busy already. So it has to be somebody else's problem. And we have found maintain the mDebian tool chains that it's harder in Debian because we were building tool chains for all the architectures, or most of them, so from x86 to all sorts of crazy shit, and they tend to break when, for example, the MIPS people add yet another multilib variant, so now there's three of them, and you go, oh, Jesus. Alviro turned up once about a year and a half ago and fixed all our compilers for us. Man's a genius. We've been staring at it for about a year going, I don't know why this doesn't work. So the more pairs of build and host you support, the more opportunities you have for something to break. So obviously our primary interest is in ARM. Most people, that's by far the most popular cross-compilers, but Leif over there wanted an ARM32 to IA64 compiler, was it? Which is way cool. in principle, we are well placed to provide that stuff, but what we should do is make it easy to build the obscure options. We don't just stick them in the archive. That's daft. But there is a question of what is the set that it's worth supporting as binaries you can just install. If anybody's mad keen, but mostly if somebody says, I promise to look after X and make sure it builds, you can have it. I promise to look after some fraction of ARM64 and ARMHF, I guess. But if I don't get to do it on work time, it'll be badly maintained. The degree to which I get to do that on work time is not entirely determined at this point. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Niels? So, yes, please harangue me.